two different people who are inflexible, two different people who have a view of life and assumptions about life, and we're pretty firm on what we believe. In fact, we've taught over the years that once we make up our mind, that's another way of putting it, once we make up our mind, we spend the rest of our life defending that position.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. It's day one of Randy's series, Changing Your Mindset. Now from the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome here live to our Intentional Living Center. Teaching's just around the corner. I take you to our teaching studio next door where I recorded this series on changing your mindset today. Boy, what a topic when you think of what goes on in the world. You heard me say in the opening clip there that once we make up our minds about things, we tend to spend the rest of our lives defending that position. Good or bad, sometimes the position that we've taken is very defensible, biblically solid, and we need to defend it. But we also need to understand there are things in our lives and times in our life when we've made up our mind and we're flat out wrong. And in the process, we hurt other people, we hurt ourselves, we limit ourselves, we hold ourselves back. We keep ourselves from experiencing all that God really has for us. It impacts our relationships. And so we're going to talk about mindset. I'm going to give you a definition in just a little bit of what is a mindset. Where did that term come from? What does it mean? And how do we change it when we need to? And how do we keep it when we need to? We're going to talk about that for the next few days. Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. We did. Nice to be back in the studio, though, and starting the fall. Wow, can't believe the fall is here and counting down for the holidays ahead between now and the end of the year. A lot of good things ahead. Let's begin with getting our minds straight, figure out what pleases Christ, and then do it. That is intentional living. Hey, by the way, I want to remind you, as you become a member of this ministry, we've got a great resource packet for you, our kit, including two of my best-selling books, The Wristband, The One Thing Wristband, and a lot of thanks from us, including our monthly CDs. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com to find out more about that. And thank you for your support. To the teaching studio and the topic, changing your mindset.
You know, we've been doing a little series here on the topic of decluttering your life and wrapping it up, talking about our minds, because our minds, when they get cluttered, create a problem for us, don't they? Once a mind is made up, it's a hard thing to change. It's called a mindset. You've heard that term before, right? A set mind. It's almost like someone has put concrete down and it hardens. And that's what often happens with a mindset. What a mindset really means is it's our assumptions about life. How we view life becomes our mindset. Now, we all know people who have set minds, don't we? We say they're stubborn. That's a term we use. They're narrow-minded, right? They've got just one view. This is the way it is. Or they're hard-headed, right? Another way of looking at a mindset. Or they're inflexible. Or they're unmovable. And when two people come together and begin to date and then marry, they bring those mindsets into that relationship. And when you have two different mindsets that meet, it can create a problem, can't it? Two different people who are inflexible, two different people who have a view of life and assumptions about life, and we're pretty firm on what we believe. In fact, we've taught over the years that once we make up our mind, that's another way of putting it, once we make up our mind, we spend the rest of our life defending that position. That's why it's so difficult many times to have a good relationship with someone whose mindset is so different than ours, because we spend so much of our time defending our mindset. And so when these two people come together, it could be in a marriage, it may be in a relationship, in business, it could be working together, it could be even in a Christian setting where you have Christians working together in the church or in a ministry or within a family, and they have their own mindsets, and those mindsets start to clash with each other. And here's the problem. We think our way into all sorts of very damaging and dangerous mindsets in life. Some of us have the mindset that says, well, I'll do it later. That's a mindset of procrastination. It's really a way of looking at life. It's an assumption of life. I can put it off until tomorrow. I'll do it later. Some people have a mindset of, I can't do it at all. Their mindset flows through a prism of fear. I'm not capable. I can't get it done. Some people have a mindset that says, I don't need anybody else. They're kind of like the Lone Ranger, right? They're going to just do it themselves. You know people like that. They don't need help. They don't want help. They don't want to have anybody come in and help them. They build a wall around themselves. Some people have the mindset that I have a right to be angry. They view life as from a mindset that says, I've been harmed, I've been hurt, and I have a right to pay you back. And so they approach everything from the standpoint of I'm right and you're wrong. Some people have the mindset is I can't forgive them. They've been locked in that says, I just can't forgive. That's just the way I've made up my mind. And since I've made up my mind, that's the way I'm going to live. Some people have the mindset of I must protect myself from other people. You know people like that. And they build a little cushion around themselves or a little wall around themselves to block off other people. You know, let me make some statements about mindsets. 90% of the thoughts that you have today are repeated from yesterday and the day before. When you think about it, our thinking doesn't change all that much. We get up every day and we tend to think much like we did the day before. If you have a certain mindset, you're going to continue to live your life along that mindset, unless something comes along to change it. Your thinking is very resistant to change. In the early years, we make decisions of how we're thinking, how life works. I wrote a couple of books on childhood memories many years ago, and we explored that our childhood memories reflect kind of our mindset, how we view life. I'll give you an example. One of the early childhood memories that we found in a book written by Donald Trump, it was one of his autobiographies or one of his books, he talked about being a little boy. And he says, as a little boy, I started to play with my brother's blocks. He had a brother named Robert. And he said, after I built all these blocks into a great building, I glued them all together, and I took Robert's blocks. A mindset, see? How you view life as a builder, as a person who's going to get things done. Corrie Ten Boom from The Hiding Place. And, of course, she and her family going through the Holocaust. And her early childhood memories talk about these precious moments with her father. She says, I remember laying in bed as a little girl and my father would put his hand over and hold my hand. And she said, I would feel so safe and secure with my father's hand. And that became her mindset, see, how she viewed life. My mother, I've shared the story with you. She was over to our home one day when I was doing the initial manuscript on a book called Unlocking the Secrets of Your Childhood Memories. I was just out of the university and exploring what childhood memories mean, and my mom started to share a childhood memory from when she was just a little girl growing up during the years of the Depression. And she said, my parents would save all the nickels and dimes throughout the year because they knew I wanted a China doll. And at the end of the year, they bought me a China doll for Christmas. And she said, as I opened this box, she said, I was so excited as a little girl to get this China doll. She said, I would play with it. And she said, when I was done playing with it, I'd carefully wrap it back in the tissue paper, put it back in the box, and put it safely and securely on the closet shelf. And as she started to share this story, you could see she became that little girl all over again. And she said, one day I reached to get that box, and as I pulled it off the shelf, that China doll fell out of that box and landed on the floor and broke into a million pieces. And here's my mother sitting in my living room years and years after that story, after that moment, and she started to cry. And she looked at me and she said, you know, Randy, it just seems like things sometimes just don't work out. My mother, if she were alive today, would tell you she wrestled with that mindset all of her life. Now, she loved the Lord, and she was very positive in so many ways, but she wrestled. See, as Christians, we wrestle with this too. We're not free from these mindsets that can keep us from the freedom that God intends for us to have.
This is Intentional Living with Dr. Randy Carlson. In just a moment, Dr. Randy presents the next part of his teaching. Today's teaching is just part of a larger study provided to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Find out about the entire study and how you can get a copy for yourself. Go to theintentionallife.com or call 1-888-1717 and press option number 4.
Different people think so differently, don't they?
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Linda Swindling, our intentional workplace expert.
But doesn't it really make sense? Often people have very different concerns than you do or have had a very different experience. Their diverse set of experiences help them filter the way they think. For instance, there's family values or how their family was structured or even their birth order. It could be their age, their religion, whether they're a man or a woman, their race. Could be where they were born. It also could be positive and negative experiences or what they do, education, travel, relationships. It's amazing we communicate at all, isn't it? For Intentional Living, I'm Linda Swindling.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
You know, with a name like Intentional Living, you gotta believe that Dr. Randy wants you to be intentional. And you'd be right. This month, he's helping you to be intentional for your life. And when you become a monthly member, you'll not only get Dr. Randy's monthly coaching CDs, but you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes two of Dr. Randy's books, Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the IL wristband. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call anytime 1-888-1717 and press option number 4.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Today's teaching from the Intentional Living Center is available to you with our thanks for your gift to the ministry. The teaching includes not only what you heard on the radio today, but all sessions of this entire study. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. Now, let's get back to Dr. Randy as he continues today's teaching.
So how do we break these mindsets? Your thinking is so resistant to change. Your thinking also governs your emotions. How you think is how you're going to respond to life. If you have a mindset, for instance, that tends to be down, if you have a mindset that tends to be a little more negative, if you have a mindset that tends to focus on what's wrong, then you're going to have days that have more things that are wrong. You start to respond and behave in ways that your mindset works. If you have a mindset that's built around anger, you see life from a confrontational, ready-to-fight position, you're going to find opportunities to be angry every day. There's plenty of things to be angry about. Or on the other hand, if you have a mindset that's positive, you know people like that, it's almost as though they're wired with this positive mindset. They see the sunshine and everything, and they tend to have more positive days. So our mindset really does make a difference. Have you ever caught yourself, I do from time to time, you run into a situation, you've said something, you've done something, or you hear yourself thinking a certain way. Have you ever hit yourself on the head? Have you ever done that? Why do you think that way? Why are you thinking that way? It's as though you'd like to just clean it out. You know, you'd like to just, you know, get a power wash and clean the whole thing out and have a new way of thinking. See? In the book Life 101, they said, whenever he thought about it, it made him feel terrible. So at last he came to a fateful decision. He decided not to think about it. But that's not the way life works, is it? You just, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to change my mind. It's like the little engine that could. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. You know what? You wear yourself out trying to change your thinking. It's a hard thing to do. Because our mindsets get set at some point in life, and they don't easily move. Now, there are three things that can really change a mindset. Number one is new information. New information will change your mindset. There was a time when everybody in the world thought that the world was flat. I mean, that was just a mindset. If you talk to people back in that period of time, they would say the world was flat. And then all of a sudden, they came along, and the mathematicians and the astronomers and the work, and all of a sudden they started to say the world is not flat, it's round. You know how long it took to change that mindset? There were people who lost their head because they wanted to change people's mindsets about the fact that the world is no longer flat. There was a time that there was a mindset that man could not fly. And then the Wright brothers came along in 1908, I think it was, at Kitty Hawk, and they took off a few feet off the ground and said, hey, man can fly. 1969, a man landed on the moon. Two men landed on the moon, walked on the moon. There was a time that there was a mindset that man couldn't fly. Now there's a new mindset, right? We believe that man can fly. And so new information has a way of changing, if we're open to it. New information can change. That's why it's so important in relationships to get new information. You hear me say, get behind the eyes of your spouse. Get behind the eyes of another person. Hear what they're really thinking. Try to understand what they're really feeling. The more information you have, it'll help you with a mindset. Because you really don't know me unless you really get to know me. You have a perception. You have a mindset about Randy Carlson. And I have a mindset about you. And those things are just the way we function in life. But when we get new information, you ever got new information on somebody you didn't know, and all of a sudden you hear something more about that person, you say, wow. And you what? Changed your mind. See? A new mindset. There's another way of changing your mindset, and it's through a traumatic event. Traumatic events change your mind. A death of a child will change your mind. A divorce changes your mindset. A serious illness can change your mind. Whenever we have these traumatic moments in life, some of the mindset, some of the assumptions that we have about life get shaken to the core. That's why at times when there's a traumatic event, some people walk away from the Lord. Because they had a mindset that was built on just the simplicity of, they didn't really have a deep abiding faith. It was just sort of, that's what I believe. And then all of a sudden, bam! And they didn't really have it deeply in their lives. See? They weren't set and secure. And that tragic moment moved them away into a different direction. There's a third thing. In addition to new information and traumatic events, is a spiritual encounter. The research is clear that people have a change in their mindset when they've had a spiritual encounter.
All right, we're going to pick up right from that point and continue next time as we continue to focus on decluttering your life and changing your mindset. You know, the Bible is very clear. We talk about it in this series. Many verses, many times in the New Testament, we see the challenge to our thinking and the power of getting our thinking straight. Get your mind set clearly on Christ. You know, members have joined us over the months, people from around the country who say, listen, I want to be on this journey with you at Intentional Living, and I want to thank those of you who have done that. Ronald and Vaughn from Tucson, thank you. Christina from Charlotte, Michigan, thank you very much. Here's Andrea from Clarksville, Michigan. Here's Kimber from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Recent members, those who've joined us in support. And when you stand in support every month as a member of the Intentional Living Center, I get a chance to send you my teaching on CD automatically. It goes out to all of our members. But right now for new members, first-time members, those of you just signing up to be a part of this journey with us, we have a new member kit, which includes the teaching for this month, and then my book, Star for Affection, and also The Power of One Thing, both autographed, along with the wristband that I wear, the One Thing wristband. All this to say thank you for your support. So either call by going to 888-888-1717, press number 4, or you can go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on donate. Okay? Appreciate it. You know, you all share questions with me from time to time. I think we've got a few of these lined up. Let's hear the first one. Here's one that came in from Kaylee.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Kaylee. I am 22 and a recent college grad. I really struggle with worry and anxiety just like all the time. And I just remember I was sharing it with my pastor. I was like, I really struggle with this. Like, it is something that I struggle with. And he's like, you need to meditate on scripture. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I just worry so much. I don't know how to meditate. And he was like, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I was wondering what scriptures you meditate on to alleviate, just like that you use to fight against like worry and anxiety. So you can meditate on things of the Lord and not of like our own fears. So that's my question. And my name is Kaylee. So thanks.
Well, thank you, Kaylee. Listen, it's a great question. You know, the Psalms always a great place to go and meditate. But I was thinking about talking about anxiety in Philippians chapter 4, where we're told to rejoice always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord's near. Do not be anxious for anything. And then he gives you this formula, but in everything by prayer. So not only meditation, which is partly prayer, but making sure you're praying with petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then the peace will come. So there's the formula. You know, there's prayer, there's petition, there's thanksgiving, making your request known to God. It's a spiritual thing. And when you choose to be intentional with your mind, when you choose to be intentional with memorizing Scripture and repeating Scripture and making it a priority, you can have it printed up off of your computer, put it on little sticky notes and put it up on the mirror or in the car, carry them in your pocket, put them on your phone, whatever. But to constantly be meditating, reading, and focusing, I'll tell you what, we become what we think about, someone said. And I think that's very, very true. Good question, Kaylee. I hope that helps. I think Becky has a question too. Stephen, what is it?
Hi. The thing I worry most about is my children, whether they're going to make it to heaven or not. They are not followers of Christ, and I worry that someday I won't see them in heaven. That's about it. My name is Becky. Thanks.
Well, Becky, you know, your question isn't far off of the same emotion that Kaylee just had, which was anxiety and fear. And I guess if you're going to fear something, that's worth fearing. You know, you're concerned. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a serious matter. We believe in eternity. We believe there's a heaven. We believe there's a hell. You don't hear it spoken of, but the Bible speaks of it. And if you love your kids, you don't want them to go there. You know, you want them to know Christ. You want them to live intentionally in Christ. You know that is what God's intention is for them. And so I guess I would cast my worry into a spiritual activity of prayer, praying for your kids. I'll go right back to the same verse I talked to Kaylee about there in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord, and he's near. Don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Then the peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it becomes down to be a spiritual thing. You know, your children don't have to make that decision. That's one thing. There's no second generation. You can't make that decision for them. Live your life intentionally before them. Pray for your kids. Let them know you love them. Let them know you want them to be there with you. But do it in a way that's just loving, but also being intentional. And then just let the peace of God reign in your heart. Ultimately, we have to come to terms with God is ultimately in charge. All right, I think we got a comment here from Suzanne. Let's listen.
Hello, Randy. This is Suzanne from Texas. I am calling about the program about worrying, and I was wanting to tell you why I don't worry. I have four boys, three of them, which are in the military, and they are all in special ops in their different branches. And the third one, when he joined, he gave me a book called Bulletproof. The basic theme of the book is that until God is through with us, whatever our purpose is here on earth, that we're basically bulletproof. Now, it doesn't mean we won't get hurt or maybe sick or something, but we won't die until he is ready for us. And that really helped when I think about the boys and, you know, when when they're on a deployment or a mission, and God is going to take care of them. I just wanted to share that helps me. I do still pray for them, but I don't worry about them because of that. I just know God can take care of them over there just as easy as he can over here at home. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, your comments, your questions, we love them, and I hope you'll take a moment and share your question or comment with us, maybe on today's topic or something you've heard or what God's doing in your life. Just give us a call, 888-888-1717, and share it with us on our comment line. I'd love to hear from you.
I called a couple weeks ago. I had a concern, like, whenever I'm around people, my mind would always say, well, nobody's going to talk to you or nobody's going to sit by you, and this just haunts me. And so I just want to thank you for how you've been focusing on the mind and, like, changing my mind and my thinking. I'm really trying really, really hard to think different, just rebuke these negative thoughts. I just really do appreciate your ministry, and so I'd like to become a support your ministry. Again, I really appreciate you focusing on the mind. Okay, thank you. God bless you. Goodbye.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for your support. I give you a couple biblical references. You know, we've talked about, and you'll hear in this series, about the Apostle Paul reminding us in Ephesians 4 to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. It's a deep thing, not just our minds thinking, but our spirit of our mind. There's something even deeper there. And then Philippians 4:8, my life verse, whatever things are true and right, admirable, praiseworthy, of good report, think on such things. Paul also says, taking captive every thought out of obedience to Christ. Some of the verses and references through this series that bring us back to the power of our minds, head, heart, and hand, three of the things that we teach. Getting our head, heart, and hands clear and straight in our relationship with Christ. Hey, listen, we're going to continue this with three things to change your mindset on tomorrow's program. I hope you'll be here. Before we wrap this up, though, I want to just talk directly to friends in Michigan, New Mexico, and Arizona. Our Intentional Love Marriage Conference begins in just a month. Michigan, Midland, Jackson, coming October 13 and 15. And then in New Mexico and Albuquerque on October 27. Arizona, both Glendale, Chandler, and Tucson, November 3, 5, and 10. All the information, you can get it. Get registered. It's going to be a fantastic evening. A lot of good things you're going to learn. For couples, Intentional Love Marriage Conference, go to theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, just click on the events. You'll see it on the rotating tile there for you. And get registered. Theintentionallife.com. See you next time from Intentional Living.